All right, Dan, on the count of three, I want you to name your second favourite AFL team. Three, two, one.
West Coast.
Nice. Okay. Favourite home and away fixture?
Anzac Day.
Oh, very good. And finally, if you could sleep with one AFL player, who would it be?
Harley Reid.
Did we just become best friends?
Oh, we did. I fucking love Harley Reid.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Dan Does Footy Podcast. You can find more of Dan Does Footy on the website, Spotify, YouTube, and social media. Lids off. See ya.
There was heaps of sick kids, and I was like, where are they? Kick them harder. Kick them all harder. Punch them in the face. A bloody horizontally challenge, if you get what I mean.
Mate, we're on the same page. We're looking good. We're doing energy's high. I said to you last episode, we're coming with high energy all the time. I can't hear shit. I look good. We both look good.
We look great.
We got the new hats. You went down to Neura.
I did.
You said, hey, I want everything you've got. And they looked after us. We've got caps for days. What are these, Legionnaires?
Yeah, Legionnaires. Yeah.
Legionnaires. They're very, very cool.
Or the Kel Knights.
Very cool. So thank you so much to Neura, really looking after us. We've got every team, it looks like, from what I can see on that chair over there.
Yeah, take your pick.
Merch from everything.
I'm looking forward to when a mate says to me, hey, do you want to come to, you know, Freo versus whoever?
Yuck.
And if it's their team, you go, yeah, no worries. Who do you go for again? And
rip it out.
Just get,
you Legionnaire know. Hat is, back in the day, huge.
Massive.
But then you bring it back.
It gives off a very sort of no hat, no play, you school. Know, primary school style, which I like.
I haven't seen AFL players run around in these. Maybe for our team that we're creating, which we'll talk about, we bring back these. Because I can just be like, if it's getting a bit hot down the back, you know?
Are we ripping them off? Yeah, let's rip them off.
You know, like I could just do that easily. I think we make this as part of our team merch.
How good are they?
Yeah. I got a haircut as well. So people are saying, oh, you look like Chad Michael Murray. Your words. Maybe I do.
Are they saying that?
I heard it once. Yes, sir. Coles. Could have been Chad Michael Murray, actually.
Could have been.
Could have been. Mate, how was your weekend? Run me through it.
Look, bit on. Obviously, Thursday night, MC the Saints, rough game.
We're going to dissect that one.
But on a positive note, gave plenty of high tens.
Did you actually?
Yeah, plenty. I reckon I gave out three or four.
Wow. Were they ask you for a high ten?
Oh, yeah, no, they asked. But it got me thinking of maybe the next thing. You know, so now that high tens are back, I want to move on to the next thing. And I reckon we bring back the old Mark Holden touchdown.
Oh, my God. When would you ever do a Mark Holden touchdown?
I don't know. Like if one of your crazy multis comes in.
Touchdown. And you just give him a... Yeah. Okay. We can drop him in the back.
Was that not iconic? Come on.
It was. But I don't remember going from school to school on a Sunday, on a Monday morning after a Sunday Oz Idol.
Yeah.
And being like, touchdown, everyone. Were you doing that?
I was doing that.
Okay.
Well, I was in Tassie though. You got to remember.
True. That explains a lot, being in Tassie. Just speaking of things that are dead, a lot of people are saying that the Shepherd's dead. In our game. It's haven't seen a Shepherd in a long time.
That's a good call.
A genuine wings out, fly eagles fly motion, Shepherd. Mm. Have you seen one?
Special players almost.
Yeah.
No, not almost. You know, even the other one where you're sort of running.
Shepherd's dead.
Yeah.
Completely dead. A bit happening this week. We've got a lot to cover. We're going to talk about what's happening around the world at the moment right now, and then we'll get into some footy. But we put a story up of you, mate. And people are saying that you're the heavyweight champion of the world.
What does that mean?
Just fighting out of your division.
What are you trying to say?
You and your lovely partner.
Yeah.
The story we put up, we got a lot of responses saying you are batting above your average.
Oh, right. Well, I thought it was a weight comment, so I'm preferring
that. No, of course I am. We don't go there. Yeah.
Of course I am.
Well, just well done.
Yeah, thank you.
I think that's a general consensus from everyone. Yeah.
One guy actually did comment saying, how does this guy even have a girlfriend? Not even how good she is. It's just in general that I've got one, which I thought.
Mate, the world works. It works in mysterious ways, but congrats to you.
Thank
I want
you.
To talk about this. It's off the top. I want to talk about this guy, Tim Narkey. Now, if you don't know who he is, you're living under a rock. The blackjack guy on Instagram, he bets 10 cents for every follow he has on Instagram. At the moment, he's at 964,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
So he's betting $96,000 today. I haven't seen it. We'll watch it together and get a live reaction in a minute. But he's currently up $666,000. And he documents it every day. It's, have you seen him?
No.
No.
I haven't. Not yet. No.
Really? Before I play the reaction, I haven't seen what he's done today, if he wins or not.
Okay.
I messaged him.
Yes.
Yeah, I did a you.
Yes, Daniel.
I messaged him because he was like, his thing was, I want to go to Vegas and I want to do the $1 million blackjack hand, so my $100,000 bet in Vegas. And I messaged him saying, mate, when you go to Vegas, let me know because we're going. I'm going to document the whole thing.
Oh, my God.
And he was like, I'm so sorry, mate. I'm going in 2 days, but later in the year, I'm going again, so let's do it then.
So he replied.
He replied to me. Yeah. Oh, well, that's what he's done today. If you haven't seen him, guys, Tim Naki. I hope I pronounced his name right. I'm sure I have. What's he done today?
In fairness, when you said that you messaged him, I thought, oh, great, like I'm rubbing off on you, like my style. But the fact he responded,
okay,
I've never had that, you know.
Yeah, true.
So it's a different thing.
Okay, Tim Myers is his name. I don't know why, not Naki, is what I have to ask him. Okay, here we go. This is $97,000 bet, $96,000 bet.
Going to blackjack and bidding 10 cents for every Instagram follower I've got. There are 965,000 of you with us now. The milli is looming. Also, we finished yesterday with $666,000 in balance. That's got to be a good omen. See you on the felt. All right, ladies and gentlemen, day 73 brings about a 90,650 punt. We've got $92,000 on the button. 2,000 21 plus 3 will go. 2,000 on the perfect pairs. We'll slap an extra 600 on the 21 plus 3. Now, we've got a young harlot here who, if her face is to be believed, would like to flip me and do me and rob me. I need to see ace 10, four's no good, go, oh, four ace, soft 15, 10's gross to be playing. We're a semi-reasonable chance of getting ourselves to push here. Give me 4, 5, 6. 4, 5, 6, I goddamn dare you. 4, 5, 6, it's a 10. And a 15 plays a king, and now we are forced. We're being strong-armed into heading, and I need to see you go low for me here, please. 5, 10's gross. 10 is a bust. She had fucking perfect pairs, and we have taken a hiding on our final online day, tilting the felt, but I will see you all tomorrow, where we'll be throwing it down live in Vegas.
Oh, he's going to Vegas tomorrow.
Wow.
He just lost 96 grand. So tomorrow's bet, he's in Vegas doing it live. I think he's done after it. So go check out what he's doing because he's doing some amazing things out there.
666,000 is not friendly for the New Zealand accent either, is it?
666,000? No, it's not at all. I haven't been in the cast in ages. Blackjack's a hard game. Mm. Oh, not really. It's one of the easiest ones. I'm more of a roulette guy.
That's easy.
Yeah, just let it fly.
Yeah.
Coachella's also on. Coachella? You been seeing anything from Coachella at the moment?
No,
that's you strike me as a festival guy.
I've been to one in my life, and it was a country music festival at Melbourne Showgrounds.
I've never been to one.
Yeah.
I've missed the boat completely.
They scare me.
People are like, oh, you should go to a festival. No, I should not. I don't have a festival in me. I know what I have in me, and it's not a festival. Coachella doesn't appeal to me, mate. I've got a mate who's been to 6 Coachellas. His name's Aaron. He just loves going to Coachella.
I'd love to, you know, in my opinion, if you've seen one Coachella, you've probably seen the next 5. Like, there's no need to go to 6,
yeah,
really.
He loves it. He swears by it. Mm. Swears by it. There was a big scandal coming out of it, and you'll love this. Charlie D'Amelio didn't have any nipples, apparently. Oh. She wore a white dress, and everyone was like, okay, where's her nipples?
That's a scandal.
It's a big scandal. A lot's coming out of Coachella, but I'm not going to go to Coachella, but it's on, apparently. I don't even know who's performing. I don't really care about it, but it's all happening over there. In the boxing, are you into boxing?
Briefly, yeah, a little bit.
Ryan Garcia beats Devin Haney. Now, I don't know if anyone's followed this at all or you know anything about boxing, but Ryan Garcia is turned into a bit of a fruit loop. He came up the ranks as like this quick, amazing, powerful boxer, and then over time he slowly formed into a bit of a weirdo. And into the fight, he was like leaning into it, acting really crazy, saying all these things, all these conspiracy theories he believed in. He was singing like during their press conferences. It was really, really weird, but everyone wrote him off thinking this guy is just not in the fight at all. He doesn't want to be here. He's acting weird. Came out and just knocked the other guy down, Devin Haney, 3 times to win the fight. And now just upset the boxing world. He also put, which is crazy, he put a $2 million bet on himself to win the fight. And won $12 million. I know you're probably thinking, hey, that sounds illegal. Not in Nevada. There's no regulations about a boxer betting on themselves by the Nevada State Athletic Commission or the Nevada Gaming Control. So you can just back yourself in, which also makes me think that you could bet against the other boxer to knock you out, which is definitely match fixing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good on him. Back yourself in and win $12 million. NBA Finals is on. The Lakers got rolled by the Nuggets in game one. Heat beat Boston. And the Clippers got the job done over the Mavs.
Can I just quickly say, before I look, I'd like to throw this in whenever I can. Speaking of boxing, my cousin was the world middleweight champion. Fought at Madison Square Gardens.
That seems like something you make up after like three beers.
Nope. Fought, is his name Golovkin? Do you remember that guy?
Golovkin?
Yeah.
No? Actually, yeah. Is he serious or not?
Yeah, yeah. Daniel Gill is my cousin and he was the, he like fought like a bunch of ones with Mundine, won that, fought in MSG, he was the world champion.
Wow.
The real deal Gill.
So that's where you get your paws from. Yeah. Is that where I know you throw them? Sometimes you like to throw them, don't you? Can you throw a punch then?
No, well, I'm more of a...
Is it in the jeans?
Oh, no, I got the dancing jeans.
Yeah. You're more of a hugger.
Oh, yeah.
You're more, yeah.
I fight with words.
You're more of a wakakiri guy. If there's a wakakiri to get beaten up, we know who's going to beat it up.
I can sniff out a wakakiri within about a 12-mile radius.
Have we spoken about wakakiri before? About what it is? Or is that offline we've spoken about?
Well, this was an offline chat.
So your background is you... Dance.
Performing
ballet.
Arts, yep.
Performing arts. And I was like, in Adelaide, I think we spoke about it, I said, look, I've had a little bit of experience in this area. I did a wakakiri. And wakakiri in Adelaide was like where the school forced you to do performing arts. Mm-hmm. So I was out there. I don't know what we did, but I did some performing arts, man. I know a little bit about the acting world.
Did you sing, dance,
I think I was a tree.
Yeah, okay.
In the background, just shuffling.
Because you would have been so tall, taller than everyone else. So we'll just
make
it
makes
you
sense
a tree.
I was a tree. I don't have a set of lungs on me either. Like, can you sing?
Nah, not really. No.
See, I feel like everyone who doesn't say they can sing can definitely sing.
No, I definitely can't.
What else is happening in the world? Okay, should we talk about our training stuff?
We can talk a little bit.
Oh, yeah, we've been told, yeah. So wheels are in motion here for our team that just trains.
The wheels are in real motion.
So we've had a meeting. We've come out of a meeting, a board meeting, about where we need to get to. We have a timeline within 6 months or thereabouts that the team will be finished, ready to go, planned out. You'll be able to buy your membership and potentially train very soon with us.
How exciting.
So it's very, very exciting. As you just said, the high tens are back. Just on you said you saw a lot of them on Thursday night. I saw a lot of them in the crowd as well from people filming themselves, being like high tens. A lot of Freo fans are throwing out high tens, which is funny because they got smoked. So keep bringing the high tens back.
We got tagged in a story, a couple of guys playing pool at a pub, got a ball in and
high ten.
A couple of high tens. So.
High tens. Shit. Fucking flying here.
That's one of the great videos.
Sorry about that. Yeah, high tens back. All right. Since the football, Toby Green, Jesse Hogan, each got a week. Now, Toby Green tax, he was always getting a week just for being Toby Green because we know that there's a good bloke and a bad bloke tax. Mm-hmm. There definitely is. Means he would have now, and he is. He's going to miss 15 weeks total in his career and have been fined $30,000 as well.
Mm.
What did we say the lifetime ban was? 20-something weeks. We don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say he can't be far off.
He actually can't be far off. I swear it's 22 weeks near the lifetime ban. So he's got, 7 weeks left in him, in his career, which would be hard. It's because now I'm confused because to me the Toby Green stuff looked exactly like what Peter Wright did.
Yeah.
Don't you reckon?
It wasn't too dissimilar, was it?
It was exactly the same except, I mean, his concussion play a role into it. This is where we've lost all notion of what's right and what's wrong in this game. There's a good bloke and a bad bloke tax. The same action can get 1 week. The same action can get you 4 weeks. Who knows what's what anymore? The world's upside down. Jesse Hogan also threw one at Lewis Young. Didn't look like he really meant to get him on the jaw, but it slipped off his shoulder and he'll get a week. That means they're without, don't think they're going to risk Sam Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have no Sam Taylor, no Cogs, no Jesse Hogan and no Toby Green this week, which is just a massive out.
That's a gang, you know, up against Brisbane too.
That is a gang. Again, Brisbane will be seething as well.
Yeah.
Seething. Tom Barras also, he got a week, but it'll be interesting to see because he is a good bloke. He's a very good bloke. Adam Simpson came out and said, listen, we know the action was there, but he's a good bloke. So
you know the rules now.
Two wrongs equal one good bloke, right?
Yeah.
That's what I say. I want to take just a minute here to talk about what this dude Harley Reid's doing out there. Now, I think we all got early caught up in this, and I was one that stood back and said, I'm not glazing him. I'm not going to glaze this guy because I know the media is going to do it before he's even played a game. I sat back and I watched his first five games and said, you know what? I think I've even come on here and said, he's been okay, but he hasn't been amazing. On Saturday primetime, what I saw living Jesus do to fucking Freo was unbelievable. And that is understating it. This kid is 19 years old. 19 years old. And he missed out on a best on ground medal by a vote. It's not even what he's doing is okay. 19-3 is okay. Six games in, amazing because of that factor.
Mm-hmm.
But he's doing it with swagger.
Yeah.
Just doesn't give a fuck who you are. If you're Nat Fife, I'm going to push you over. I'm going to disrespect you. If you're getting me high and it's a 3v1, I'm going to laugh in all three of your faces.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just doing things and has his aura about him that you don't see.
So the next generation, obviously, we're going to be talking about Reed and Nick Daicos for a long time, right? Mm-hmm. But if we look at Nick Daicos's first season, with all due respect to him, I think he's an amazing player, but I don't want to say he got soft touches, but like he racked up a lot of disposals, but I don't remember him doing this sort of stuff.
No,
right?
It wasn't this impactful.
Yeah.
It wasn't this.
There was no star quality attached to
this
it.
This is a dog out there.
Yeah.
And he's made West Coast relevant. Like, I now watch West Coast to watch Harley, and I have not done that the last 2 years.
Nope.
I don't think a lot of people have done that. It is just this. He's different.
Yeah.
He is different. He has got something about him. There's a lot of, you know, talk about his contracts, and now today they can actually sign him on extension. The AFL has opened the floodgates and said, go on, sign him to what you want to sign him to.
Yep.
But the AFL love him. We spoke about it last week. They've now changed their bio. Have you seen their bio, the AFL Instagram?
What is it?
They changed it to Harley Reid Fan Club.
I mean, they not love wrong.
Him. He's just not human, what he's doing. It's just, and again, don't want to glaze him too much, but to be a 19-year-old,
mm-hmm.
to be the face of a club, fuck it, face the AFL right now, huge.
So you said there that, yeah, after round six, first-year draft picks can now re-sign. Mm-hmm. A pick one or first-round draft pick, sorry, automatic three-year deal, I believe, that they sign.
Yeah.
So he's got 3 years. What's your gut instinct? If you're West Coast, they've got money as well, so this would be very different if it was like North or whatever.
Yeah. So what you said there,
what are you going to do?
So you just nailed that. I'll go back. Your first thing is that, when you're a first-round draft pick now, you get a three-year deal straight away.
Yep.
Because the Suns fucked themselves and changed the system where they were signing their first-round draft picks to two-year deals because you could only do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then after two-year deals, they had to pay so much more money to keep these kids there over market price, over the actual worth, just to keep them there, that when they left, not only were they left in a financial hole and they couldn't recruit anyone else, they'd invested all this time and effort and money into these players to then walk out the door.
Mm-hmm.
So the AFL said, hold up, we're not going to let the Gold Coast situation happened to everyone else and everyone on the other team. We're going to make sure if you're a first round draft pick, you are locked to this club for 3 years, and then we'll have a date where you can then start negotiations to open up an extension from there.
Yep.
He could sign. We've been saying for the whole time, pay him what he wants. Pay him anything what he wants. He is worth so much money. Just what he's doing for the face of the Eagles, what he's doing on field, he has the most power out of any player in the AFL at the moment. I think he'll sign a five-year extension, mm-hmm. on a crazy amount. We know that the broadcasting money and rights, CBAs and all that, get blown up next year, so we'll have 60 millionaires. He'll be one of them for sure. I think he signs 5 years on ones at least.
Do you think, does it play into things where, let's just come back to earth for a little moment, that he's really just been amazing for the last 2 weeks, right?
Mm.
He's been good and then amazing for 2 weeks. But is 2 weeks enough that we can jump the gun a little bit and go, yeah, whatever he wants? Or
I think you keep him. Like, we haven't seen a six-game player do this. Didn't see Walsh do it. Didn't see Rao do this. Didn't see Daicos do it.
And what's doing it?
Like a 19-year-old man throwing his weight around with grown men, mm-hmm. stiff-arming, bursting out of pack, kicking goals, taking hangers, dragging West Coast in that first quarter over the line and be like, come with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 19 years old. You're going to come with me or not? Like, inspiring these older players around him. Elliot Yeo's found himself again by having Harley there.
Mm.
We haven't seen a kid come in and change a club like this ever. So he's worth one paying like that. He's worth to have him for sponsorships.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, if you're West Coast, if you let this kid go because you want to pay him $1.5 million, and he goes to a Melbourne team and wins a Brownlow and a premiership, you will never live that down.
No.
So you actually can't afford to lose him.
Yeah.
Because they got the money to do it.
Totally.
There's been everyone saying, look, sign him up for 10 years on $15 million deal, you know. That's not going to happen. They're going to sign him for 10 years.
Mm.
That'd be silly for Harley to even do that because he doesn't know where his ceiling's at the moment.
No, exactly.
No one does. But it's crazy to think that this year his base is $130,000. And he's getting $4,000 a match. Then also receives incentives for the Rising Star, which is who'll just win. He'll get 20K yeah. for that. All Australian squad, 20K, and top three best and fairest, 30K. So he's going to make 200 out of this year.
Mm.
And then that fourth year contract could be $1.3 million.
Wow.
Crazy. Pay the man what he wants. Get him to back up the stack strike and just dump it in the back of it. We spoke about the Shepherd being dead. Richmond also in a bit of trouble. They need some money. They could maybe ask Harley Reid for some money because they are asking members to help fund its $100 million redevelopment of Punt Road. Now, I read this article with like a little bit of interest. I was like, I'll dig a bit deeper into here. So Richmond now asking their members to rebuild its Punt Road headquarters in a brick by brick campaign in a nod to its yellow and black past, designed to lock in the long-term future of the venue. It comes as the cost of a state-of-the-art redevelopment of the Punt Road Oval has ballooned from about $65 million to $100 million. That's a big price increase. They said that the feature of a three-level car park underground has added to the cost. Hey, Richmond, don't need a three-level underground car park, eh? You need an oval, four sticks, and a pumped-up footy.
Not when you got Hungry Jack's down the road, you can park there.
Markov parks Hungry Jack's and runs down. You got parking in Richmond? Work it out. So now you want members to be like, you know what? I'll never park in that car park, but fuck it. I'll help fund it.
I'm not into that. And also, I drove past Punt Road the other day. It's a great facility from the outside. I haven't looked inside.
Bigger
and
bigger.
Nothing wrong with it.
Bigger and bigger.
Nothing wrong
bigger
with it.
Bigger and better. I don't think the members are going to fork out for that. And even especially the way they're going on the field, they want to see a healthy injury list. They'll fork out for that. They can put some money into the medical team. They'll definitely fork out for that. Speaking of Richmond, Dan's desk. Something fell across my desk this week. An ear to the ground, if you say, in the Gold Coast.
If you say.
If you will. Baker gone. Rioli gone. Martin gone. I think we all kind of know that, but I'm confirming it now. Apparently Rioli and Martin, not together, but both have caught up with Dimmer in the same spot. So he's got like a signing spot that he goes to. Maybe he goes to Hog's Breath and says, you guys want some curly fries?
Yeah.
And the curly fries is like a wink, wink, nod, nod. See you next year.
Yeah.
That's my reports.
Or in one of the Wet and Wild tunnels, the slides. So no one can hear from the outside.
Could be. They're gone. Baker, we know, is gone for sure. Richmond could be literally looking at an empty closet next year.
Yeah, well, you take those three players out. You take your coach. You've had, Revolt's obviously left a big hole. All of a sudden, this list is...
looks different.
Pretty different.
This is rebuild. Brick by brick. They're rebuilding the fucking facilities. How about your rebuild team? Am I right? Brick by brick. How about the fucking player by player? I suck at the moment. Horrible. Which team, also, just speaking of that, which team do you reckon, which team's fans are the quickest to turn on them?
I love this.
I'm going to go with Port from what I've seen on the weekend.
Ooh.
But Rich, just speaking of the brick by brick thing and Richmond and what they're doing, Richmond up there as well. Wow. Quickest to turn on their own team.
Is this what you saw just online?
My latest sick obsession is going to the losing team's Instagram and seeing the comments. Fuck, it's so funny.
I love
a bit of emotional posting. I will never watch this team ever again. I've been a member since 95 and I can tell you this will be the last game I ever watch. Won't be. It's actually my new favorite thing to do.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, no, I'd stick with Port. That's pretty good.
Yeah, Port are off Ken big time.
Yeah.
Ken's been around for a long time. Ken has been like 10, 15 years now.
And also, let's remember, Port, from my memory, were also the first team to legitimately have to utilise the use of tarps. So, like, there's evidence to support that the fans
no
just won't show up.
No other team has used tarps unless it's been a Mad Monday.
Yeah.
You know?
So, that could be the correct answer.
You're right. That's a grim stat to have, the only team that actually need to use tarps.
Yeah.
Port are a funny team. We'll talk about them in the review, but I feel like they keep doing this every year. They come out and bash the living fuck out of teams at home, and then they travel away and the wheels are off, and then everyone's off their coach. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just the same storyline with them.
Yeah, it's a circle.
I'd love for them. Yeah, I think back to what we were saying, the quickest to turn on their own team are Port people, the Pear Farmers. All right, let's get into footy this week. Just before we do, we have Wednesday night footy this week. Just hook it into my veins. I don't care. Find it. Find the vein and hook it in. Wednesday night football. How fucking – let's fucking go, Anzac Day. On one of the weekends that means so much to us as Australians, where we fought, where we show our respects and our gratitude to those who went to war for us. To fucking have Wednesday night football, let's go. I can't wait. We also have two Thursday games, which is big. I was speaking to you before. Yeah. Thursday game, the Anzac Day game between Collingwood and Essendon is 3:20 on a Thursday. Good luck getting me to work on a Friday.
Yeah.
Because I'll be silly by then.
Have you got work on Friday?
Okay. Let me know. I work hard, mate. I will do have work on a Friday, actually. I think it's called golf.
If you did.
If I did, I wouldn't be going. I'd be calling in sick. I'd be going down with the gastro about 5 p.m. Talk about the feed before we get in the footy. I've been feeding everyone this week. I've done it again. Friday night, Saturday night. $210.50 winners again.
How did your $41
loss? Brisbane fucked that for everyone.
Right, okay.
Brisbane didn't do well. And then North would have cooked it as well because they didn't decide to turn up.
That's okay.
Which is grim. But Thursday night football in the Fraud Cup, and we have a fraud in the spotlight. It's the St. Kilda Saints. They are fraud material. They are on fraud watch. They are very close to being crossed out of this finals contention.
I thought you did cross them off.
Nah. They haven't been crossed off yet.
Okay.
They're one bad loss again. Dogs win by 10 goals. And I feel like, St Kilda, you've been rebuilding for 15 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you made finals last year, but that was like a gimme. We just gave that to you because we felt bad for you. You didn't really earn that one. And then you didn't fire a shot in the final.
We won a final a couple of years. Like, we were in the 2020 finals. Won a game there.
Did you?
Yep.
Rebuilding still. Rebuilding. I think they played 3 games in 11 days.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That is a lot, but I feel like this is different because you guys just didn't show up. Like, normally if you're doing that, you'd be cooked in the back end of a game.
Mm.
But to come out in the first quarter and not show up again for the third week in a row.
Well, it's a real theme that I don't understand why, but allergic to the first half.
I don't
want
to blame anyone here, but was it your fault?
I was pumping them up. Yeah. But like, I mean, could you have been,
upon reflection, could you have been a little bit more like, come on, I know there's 3 of you here watching this game live here at the stadium. There's 3 people here watching this.
I could have given more high tens. I was distracted because I was standing next to Eric Banner at one point in the race.
Yeah, you kept showing video of him. You're filming him the whole time.
It's Eric Banner. Yeah. I'm not going to do that.
He hated you, didn't he?
He didn't hate
me. Did you have an incident?
No. Well, here's what happened. He saw me looking at him probably one too many times. So I'm standing in the race looking at him with my phone and my camera ready. And I'm going, should I not? And then I didn't, but we caught eyes way too many times.
It's probably because you messaged him as well. He's like, that's the guy that keeps messaging me on Instagram after a few rosés and chicken wings.
Hey, Ez, you know, EB, what's up? That kind of thing.
Hope it doesn't make you angry and tell you we're the Hulk. He would have hated that. This game was over in 20 minutes. Like, I mean, if you're a Saints fan, you'd want the Saints game to be moved to the graveyard so you enjoy the weekend, wouldn't you? Can't enjoy a weekend when you're getting smoked on a Thursday night like that. And let's give Brevo a round of applause, actually. Round of applause. After a couple of weeks of hell, Bevo and the Dogs respond. And even after selection, the Dogs fans and supporters were like, I don't like this one bit. I don't like it one bit. And he said, nah. I don't care. I'm not listening to you guys. I know my team. I'm backing them in. I'm bringing in some Dogs. And we'll go out and beat a team by 10 goals. And now Doggies fans kind of want to sack and re-sign him at the same time, which is a weird notion to be in as a supporter. Like, we like you, but also could sack you.
Yeah.
Could sack you big time. Everything clicked. English was better. He got the chocolates over at Rowan Marshall. Bond did it all day. Bailey Dow at 39. Norton kicked 6. And Lobb was actually very, very good. He was very busy up forward, kind of playing up high up the ground, marking it and wheeling and going to your Norton and Cody Waitman. And it just shows how reliant St Kilda is on a Max King. Mm-hmm. Like, they had nothing up there. Tim Membry fought hard, got some junk time goals. Liam Henry is also out, gives them something different in that forward half. They literally are a different team without those two and Mason Wood.
Yeah.
They looked very lackluster.
Mason Wood actually is probably the one that I'd say that he's been a bit of an unsung hero for St Kilda for a little bit now. And yeah, even when Max King isn't kicking 3 or 4 or 5 goals a game, he's still the focal point.
Yeah.
So that forward line looks completely different. And Caminiti does some great stuff, but struggled to keep that ball to actually stick, you know, in his hand. So one thing I would say, just with my St Kilda hat on, is I think that the Bulldogs could have played anyone in that game after the week that they had, and I think they would have done the same thing. But having said that, St Kilda still could have shown a lot more.
Yeah.
But I wasn't shocked that the Bulldogs went out there in that style and stood up for their club.
Well, we said that they'd come out, and I said they'd come out and respond because the week that they'd had.
Of course.
Like, they had to respond, and that was the perfect response given everything that's surrounding this footy club at the moment. They were good. They did exactly what we wanted them to do.
Yeah.
Not you, obviously, with your Saints hat on.
No, I didn't like it.
Crowd was good, though. 26,000 people.
Mate, it was a Thursday night.
That
it's
is
raining.
Gross. Don't care. Fucking horrible effort.
Nah.
Not buying it.
Thursday night always sounds like a great idea until it rolls around and then it's raining and you've got to get families. They've got to go all the way back out to, you know, past Moorabbin to get home. You know, I didn't get home till midnight.
True. Are you okay? But also, okay, I compare all that and what you're saying to have 30,000 in the graveyard.
Yeah, well, touche.
Friday night footy. Wow, wow, wow. Controversy galore here. Bombers by 3 points. And we did also say this would be a chance for Essendon to go back to Adelaide, relive the scar. Look at the scar that Port gave you and say, okay, let's respond here. And they did exactly that in a game that was pretty gross, to be honest with you. But in prime time, to go over there and redeem themselves, a very, very good effort. And congrats to Essendon's recruiting department going out and getting Ben McKay. He has been unbelievable. He's been an anchor down there, a rock of Gibraltar, like just stopping everything. And he's never sung so much in his life. He's not used to singing this much.
Sore lungs.
He might go. Yeah, he might go on the injury list with sore lungs.
Too much singing.
Anyone that leaves North, goes to another team, always gets sore lungs.
Bring on a personal vocal coach.
Okay, so it was definitely holding the ball by Sam Draper. Like, he literally tried to root the footy.
Or is it in the back?
By who?
Tex.
Who pushed him? Oh, I just feel like, no, I don't feel like, I fucking know you can't lay on the football and do that.
Should we recreate it?
Yeah, well, nothing will pick it up. The cameras pick it up.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, look, you can't be like.
You can't just do. Are you text?
Yeah, I'm text.
Okay, you tell me what you think text did.
So he went.
And then Drake went on his knees.
Yeah.
That's holding the ball.
That's not in the back?
That's holding the ball. That is holding the ball, mate.
It's holding the ball. So the AFL came out and said, yeah, we got that wrong, guys. We got it really wrong. I kind of really like that Drapes took the piss out of it as well after the game with the boys, just saying to Adelaide. And you would have loved it given how much you fucking hate Adelaide.
I don't hate them.
Do you know that we were going to go to live for the golf and they said no because of your thoughts on Adelaide?
Hey, it's not about the city. I love the city. I lived in the city.
Tourism South Australia said no ollies.
Well, I will say this. I don't know if you remember when they brought out the SA Tourism logo a couple of years ago. They left Tasmania off the map. So you tell me.
There we go. That's why.
That's pretty piss poor.
That's why. So there's your real issue with them. They left Tassie.
That's justified though.
It is. You really don't like them. You would have just been sitting at home watching this game with a big grin on your face going, yep, told you entitled.
Yep.
Entitled. So we know it was holding the ball. They got shafted again by the umpires on their home deck twice in 2 years, just being absolutely bent over by the umpies. And I know we're going to blame the umpies again, but had their chances late to just actually bury the game and couldn't take them. So what under Essendon spoke about the two rucks of the Bombers, which we know my thoughts on them and how I don't like the setup. I don't think it's working. It's definitely not working. I think the Bombers are getting lucky with it. Because Goldie's been so good, Drapes can just go forward and bring it.
What a quote. Goldie's been so good. Was that on your bingo card for this year?
No. Not after what he did to me earlier this year.
No.
But Goldie's been so good that when Peter Wright comes back in, they have to get rid of one. And it's probably not going to be Goldie.
Wow.
I think Drapes gets dropped.
No.
I genuinely think he does. And I love Drapes. He's a great man, but Goldie is 36 and playing better footy.
Shit.
He's been, fuck, it's hurting me to say this. He's been so critical to what they're doing in the centre bounce.
Yeah.
To give his mids first look at it and to get the breakaway out of the centre bounce, get it forward. Drapes is playing a role, but Peter Wright just comes back in the team and can clunk him.
And can't fit all three.
No way.
No. Nah.
It's not a three-headed monster like a Carlton where you have Harry, Charlie and TDK, where TDK mm-hmm. is kind of more of that hybrid one where he can actually clunk him and finish. Yeah. Drapes is bring it to ground, will clunk the odd one here or there, but then he misses when he gets the chance. Oof. So he hasn't proven in the first part of the season that he can be a one goal a game forward. Mm. Just one would be good. You know, you're down there enough. Where Peter Wright will come back in and give this forward line a whole new dynamic.
Yeah. Wow, who would have thought?
Which is crazy to think that at the start of the year, Drapes would be forced out of Goldie because of Goldie.
I mean, you genuinely thought he wouldn't play a game and you weren't taking the piss there.
No, I honestly thought Goldie would play reserves all year and be insurance for Draper. Yep. And now he's just fucking put egg all over my face, which is hard to say and hard to realise. Jordan Dawson and Soligo. Soligo is doing some things out there for Adelaide. Mm-hmm. I know you don't like Adelaide, but I like what he's doing. Both had 31 each, and I am begging someone in Adelaide, a forward in Adelaide, a tall forward, to please help Tex.
Mm.
Take the reins off him. He's too old for this stuff. He is too old to be the number one forward because he's given so much to this footy club and his back would be so sore from carrying you guys. He's just asking for someone, hey, come help me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to be the condiments on here. I'll be a salt and pepper, but I'm not the steak anymore. I'll be the sauce. I'll be a nice Diane sauce or mushroom sauce, but I'm not the steak anymore.
No. I'm just looking through their list at them, but Darcy Fogarty, that's Darcy the guy Fogarty. I was thinking of. Yeah.
You'd think he'd be the one that would be like,
you'd think he needs to stand up.
I'll be the steak.
Yeah.
But he's not at the moment. So, yeah. And in saying that, the Bombers win, but I still feel like I can't trust them.
Mm.
Like they beat, I'm not picking them this week over the Pies. I think that's given. I think most people will, but yeah, they got lucky here.
Yeah.
So I don't trust him.
It lines up. We'll talk about it in the next show this week, but it really lends itself, though, to a pretty interesting Anzac Day game. Like, they've got a little bit of form now. Both teams have been up and down, you know, in patches.
Anything can happen on Anzac Day.
Anything could happen.
Anything could happen, yeah. The emotions of the day get both teams up and about, and then we're away. Nothing better than Anzac Day. Nothing better than a dawn service.
Hey,
how good is it?
Best, but seriously, best home and away fixture of the year, do you
think? Yeah, it is. Yeah. Just we should do it more, but just to reflect on, our history and what those brave men and women went through, I think it's like it's a round that evokes so much passion and unifies people at the same time. And everyone, I feel, being and playing a couple of Anzac Day games, you definitely find something more in you to play for.
Well, we're not actually that patriotic here, so it is kind of a day that we switch that on pretty easily.
Yeah, we do.
You know.
I mean, we should. I think America, obviously, the pin-up boys and girls that do it the best because they are patriotic about everything.
Yeah.
But you're right. We only really seem to bring it into light on this round.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great round. Collingwood v Power in the 1:45 time slot, which I was critical of. Collingwood were 5 goals down and then stormed back in the second quarter, especially kicking 8 in a row to win by 42 points. Congrats to Collingwood for winning Battle of the Prisons. They went down to their local prison and got a prisoner out there. He had a lovely lunch and then they just put him straight back in because that's what they won. But Port got punched in the mouth by the Pies and just couldn't respond. And you looked at the first quarter and said, okay, Port here, they've come to play because Pies just took it and said, you can smack me as hard as you want. Butters came out and had 15 in the first quarter and Collingwood looked like they were the Collingwood the first 3 rounds, just cooked. Trying to be too cute, handballs over their head, lookaways, not manning up. Everything that went forward for Port was getting marked and then turned into a goal. And then the second quarter started and Port looked like they were gassed. They stopped completely. And from there, 8 in a row, as I said, and the game was over. So I think we've looked at Port. We spoke about them briefly, but you definitely can stop Port.
Mm.
You've stopped Butters and Rosie. It goes a long way and then they're done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they're done. So Loggy Schultz as well. I just wanted, he's been criticised a fair bit because he's obviously come over from Freo and he'd be paid an absolute wicket to be there. But he looks like, especially on the weekend, he's worked out how to fit into this Collingwood puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
What piece is he going to play? How does he play? Because he can't – it takes a while to recalibrate yourself to play a system.
Mm-hmm.
Collingwood obviously has a very team-oriented system, so he's taken the first 5 weeks to sort that out. And on the weekend, he looked like someone who'd figured it all out. Mm-hmm. How do I fit in this team? Bobby Hill – now, if you had Bobby Hill to kick three or four in your multis, you'd have been spewing because he gave about 15 away in the goal square to people. Just decided, I'm going to be a score assister here today. And it was so funny because you could tell that he – it was like he was almost taking the piss with how many can I give away here.
Yeah, this is like, the new game.
This is a new game for me. I don't want to kick goals, but I'm very happy to start dishing them out to people. So he was – I mean, they're all back in form now, the Pies. They really are. Their first – their slow start of the season, you can get rid of it and say it doesn't matter because they are very much – well and truly back. And if they keep doing what they did against Port and putting the league on notice, we're cooked. They'll go back to back. And you may as well pack this thing up and go home because this is just a beast that you will not be able to stop on grand final day. And they're only just going to get better and better now that they have found their mojo back. So congrats to Collingwood fans. Very scary for everyone else. Port as well. Just before I finish with them. Do this every year. I know I've said it, but the being Tarzan at home and then fucking being Jane away is not going to go well for anyone. Mm-hmm. You've got to figure out to be Tarzan at home and away.
Yeah.
Because you're good enough. That's what we want from Port, to show up when they're away. Carlton v Giants. We're back. We're back like I played. Premiership favourites, 19-point winners, and I have a navy blue erection that's throbbing. This team is banged up at the moment, is doing things the team this banged up shouldn't be doing. Just got a navy blue erection. Oh, it was great to see. I mean, it was scary there for the first half of the second quarter where things got a little bit scary, but just nothing better than two teams who get together at 4:30 on a Saturday arvo and say, let's just go head-to-head here and just start throwing punches at each other. Let's just put everything else aside, stand opposite each other and just throw them at each other. Loved it. And I was very critical on Carlton, saying that their 4-1 record was horrible and so not true of the way they were going. To then go out and get the Giants with the injury list that they have is like, that is, okay, I see your resume now. That's a premiership resume, what you're putting together. What you can do in the back end, and they'll have their ups and downs. It's round six. Like, this thing will fluctuate. They'll have rounds where they play like they did against Adelaide. They'll have more rounds where they played like they did last weekend. But I think we saw enough from the Blues to be like, actually could now, at the pointy end, do some damage and win a flag.
And it was an absolutely crucial game to win because we've spoken about the next sort of 5 weeks for Carlton and it doesn't look great.
It's like gross.
It's a really
gross fixture.
Cats, then Collingwood, then Melbourne, then Sydney, then Gold Coast. So, yeah, next sort of 4 weeks. Like, if you had lost this game against the Giants, then, you know, that's not the best start to things.
That is a gross run of games. A dangerously gross run of games. And they lost Zachy Williams back with an Achilles, hopefully just a knock, and then Jacob Weedham got a huge corky. So they did it tough. It's not like it looked – I think watching it looked like it was very sexy and easy and free-flowing. And for parts of it, it was because of what was happening in the centre bounce, and it was just being walked out of centre bounce clearances by the Blues, which is a credit to them because their centre stoppage team or their stoppage team, their midfielders, hadn't been operating at 100%. They'd been getting bashed, actually, for the last fortnight. So to come up against a good midfield team with, you know, you got Tom Crean in there, Jake Kelly, Kieran Briggs is an unbelievable ruckman, dominant, to actually go in there every bounce and be like, nah, we are walking this out the front of you every time and there's nothing you can do about it, which is exactly what it looked like, just walking out of there. The three-headed monster of TDK, Charlie and Harry, when that gets going, good luck to any team. And Cripper and Walsh, thank God for them. 74 touches and 19 clearances between them. So, as I said, just beat the shit out of them in centre clearances. The Giants, now, they're going to be good, okay? They're going to be good. We know they're going to be good. But they did look a lot different without their culture setters in Taylor and Canelio. But that back line looked thin without Sammy Taylor. Canelio gives him another look inside, but I don't think either of those players or both in the same team was stopping what was happening on the weekend. That was just going to happen. They were bleeding inside and then down back. And then they'll go to work this weekend on the training field, then come out next weekend and just beat the absolute living shit out of someone. Who do they have, Brisbane?
GWS. Let me just double check.
Yeah, they do. They're Brizzy.
Yeah, Brisbane.
Wow. At home in Canberra?
Actually, is it? Because, yeah, we've spoken about it.
Yeah, it's in Canberra. It's in Canberra. Oh, I'm thinking the bus home. That's not great for the Giants players. You just want to stay home in your own bed, wouldn't you? Also, David Roden was the goal line player in this game.
Oh, how good was he? Confident.
Was he good? No score reviews. Just a guy that backs himself in with a smile on his face.
Yeah.
A guy that gives you no score reviews and great delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Love him. Need more of him. There was also the woman in the Sydney Suns game who was on the deck looking up. I don't know how it happened. I think she obviously got knocked. But to be in a push-up position, head up, and then say, hey, I'm not really sure here. I'm going to sit upstairs. Kudos to her. Yeah, need more of those.
If you're going to do a review, that's the sort of circumstance.
Generally, the only reason you do a review is if you're in a push-up position on the ground in a pack of players.
So we're happy to write that up as an official rule, essentially?
100%. That's the only reason you need to do that. There was one in the Hawthorn and one umpire, I should say. One umpire in the Hawthorn and North game who did 5 score reviews, 4.25, 4 goals in a row. That guy, and I don't want to bash the umpires, but he should never umpire again. Back yourself. All we're asking for your umpires is to just show us how big your balls are. Mm. Back your skills in. We need some confidence. The players out there, they go up and down in confidence. Am I good enough? Can I hit this kick? Can I kick that goal? Let's have some confidence. Even back to the Adelaide decision with Draper, that was a umpire that was like, oh, I'm not sure here.
Mm.
I'm very scared to make a call here. Just back yourself in. Back yourself in. Brisbane, Geelong, 26-point winners, Geelong, in an absolute fucking gross game to watch in pissing rain. Absolute dog's breakfast to watch. I didn't watch it.
Mm-mm.
I flicked here and there, but just yuck. Just yuck. And I want to start off with an apology to the Cats fans and to the Geelong Football Club. I had you nowhere near finals this year, and to come out and be 6-0 and look like you could play in a grand final, you should punch me in the face next time you see me. Every Geelong fan, don't do that, actually, but I would understand if you did want to punch me in the face.
I reckon they're flag favourites now. Right now, as it stands, they are the only team that haven't given me a reason why not. And I've been saying why not. No, I've been saying, well, they can't this whole time.
Yeah.
What point do the bodies get sore? What point does the AIDS factor become a thing?
It's huge.
It's not happening yet.
We've made every excuse for them to not be this good. We've said they're old, as you said. We've said they're slow. We've said they've got an imbalance between aging stars and their rebuild, and they don't give a fuck. They come out and win in different ways, and it's just an absolute masterclass in the coaching box. Mm-hmm. He's not winning players. He's not winning games with his players. He's winning games with his coaching.
Yeah.
Like, in the rain is where you throw out your game plan and you say, I need to set something up here to be like, I need a new system in the rain.
Yep.
That's a coaching tick. I don't think Fags did that. I think Fags was like, got 22 blokes out there in the rain, just go out and do your thing.
Mm.
Where you could see that Chris Scott was like, no, we're going to set some things up here behind the ball defensively to give us the best shot to score when we go forward. That meant Jeremy Cameron playing way up higher. We know he'd been playing higher before that, but he was playing very much in D50 pretty much and slingshotting forward to a Stengel who was getting him at the back in the rain, kicking him on. Hawk played deep to give him an anchor. So the coaching with Chris Scott is a massive reason why they're 6-0, which normally you don't really think about in the AFL world, how much the coaches have an impact. Like, you think normally they have structure at training and what's the messaging going forward. For him to be like, no, I'm on game day, I'm going to be the chess master here, is huge. Big O got injured, which then obviously threw everything out for Brizzy because they had to send Joe Danaher into ruck, and Hipwood at the moment hasn't shown enough that he can be a solo big forward, especially in those conditions. Probably wouldn't have taken... Oh, it depends how talented they are. Normally, you wouldn't take that tall of a lineup into a game. But that threw them out. And Brisbane now have a bit of work to do to make this 8.
Mm.
A lot of work to do. There is question marks galore. And they've just lost all their scariness. They're not a scary team.
No.
The last 3 years, I reckon we've looked at Brisbane as, these guys are scary. Going to Brisbane's daunting. Playing Brisbane away has its challenges just because we know that they're good.
Yeah.
There's no fear there with them anymore.
No
fear. Next game in the Derby Derby, whatever you call it a fucking West Coast win. 37 points. And I told you, I had that vibe. Had that fucking vibe about it. They're going to come out and smack him. Absolutely smack him and fly, Eagle, fly. Fly, fly, fly. They were unbelievable. Came out in the first quarter, did their thing. We spoke about Harley Reid. Elliot Yeo got him going. McGovern and Barras down back were just stopping everything. And WA is Eagle territory. It is again. It'll remain that. Do a welfare check on your Freo fans and your friends. They have had a rough 3 weeks. Mm. Really rough. And I feel for them. But Eagles go and win back-to-back games the first time since 2021 in the biggest upset of the year so far. We spoke about giving Harley Reid the keys to the city. He's the new Prince of Perth.
Yep.
Just a 19-year-old taking the absolute piss out of grown men. Played 6 games and no one had an answer for him. No one had an answer for him. They've gone from being super ass, the Eagles, in the first 3 weeks to doing a number on Richmond, upsetting Freo. And they've come back from the dead on the whiteboard.
Yeah.
I uncrossed them.
There you go.
I said they're coming. I said you guys could maybe make finals now.
Well, I don't know about that, but... What I would say, though, would you agree with this, is that if the season either ended now or, let's say for argument's sake, if they didn't win another game for the rest of the season, hypothetically, as opposed to North, as opposed to Hawthorn, we've seen we've seen enough with West Coast.
Yeah.
Well, I understand what they're doing now. I think they've won a derby, so they've got, you know, bragging rights. They've blooded some absolute superstars. They've got a face of the team, face of the competition. I don't care if they don't win another game.
Nah.
They have done everything they needed to.
They've done enough. Yeah. I mean, they look at all those teams at the moment, Hawthorn, North, and who else we say? Or the Richmond.
I think you could probably add Richmond instead.
I think if you put those four teams in a group, I'd be plucking out West Coast as the one that excites me the most.
Yep.
About what they can do. Yep. Now, I still think they have some issues with, I mean, they're a bit like, not really, but sort of in the profile of Geelong's aging profile. Like they have those top end older blokes that you're not really sure how much footy have left in them. And then they're still looking for some pieces now to blood and put around Harley. So we know Harley is a big tick in what he's doing. But who are the next guys that are going to go with Harley for the next 5 years?
Yeah.
Like we don't really know. Oscar Allen. When he comes back, forget that he's out. Like when he comes back, geez, that is dangerous forward. It's forward line. I mean, Darling's one of those blokes that I just spoke about. We don't know where he's going to be in 2 years.
Yeah, totally.
So I'm excited about what West Coast are doing. I took them off the whiteboard, but I still feel like they won't make finals.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're definitely going to have another 100-point loss in them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just the way that the list is made, but... This is a great effort to come out and lead this game against Freo, who we'd all said was so, so impressive because no matter what game Freo win, their game plan and their defensive mindset keeps them in every game. For West Coast to come out and be 11 goals up at three-quarter time to blow everything that Freo ever thought about themselves or believed in out of the water and question themselves is a huge effort. And last week I said, Freo fans got very angry about this. I said that if you have two great rucks, you have zero great rucks. And Freo fans lost their fucking minds about this because AFL Central, which we love, put up the graphic of my quote with Jackson and Sean Darcy. So then Freo fans said, what does Gurridge know? He knows fuck. We'll show them. West Coast are just training cones. I kept receipts, motherfuckers. I went hard on them on Twitter or X, whatever it's called. I remember that. I still stand by it.
Yeah.
If you have two great rucks, you have zero.
Yep.
And I will die. I want that to be my tombstone. That's what I want that to be. So Freo fans, I do feel for you. And as I said, no harsh feelings. I would love Fremantle to come out and issue an apology to its fans and say, we're sorry that you had to go through that. That's a dark, dark day for Freo. I'm still confused. Now I'm more confused about Freo. Like I walk away from that game going, I don't know what Freo are anymore.
Yeah, now it's confusing.
Now I'm confused. I mean, do you like Matt Tabanar or not? Because he's not playing. Joy Amos got knocked out and then they literally were relying on Tracy and Walters is – I think Walters is there now to look after the young kids and try and bring them through. He's not the same. He's not going to kick. If you get two goals out of him, you'd be happy, but yeah.
Now, they take on the Dogs as well, who are
– Is that here or there?
That's over in Perth, but they take on a Dogs that, you know
– Found a dog in them, yeah.
And found their bark.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, that'd be a good game. That's a Tim English contract game as well.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, go over there and show the recruiters how much money you want. So that'd be a good game this week coming up. Sydney, Gold Coast, Swans. Crazy the Swans won this by 53 points. Now, this is probably the most boring game of the round. Almost put me to sleep, but I mean, Sydney weren't amazing, but they just, you don't have to be when you just have to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
And they did exactly that. Grundy plays 200th and was really, really good. He got the better wits. Heaney did his thing, probably leading the Brownlow.
Mm-hmm.
The Swans winning so much helps that. And Amati is the most underrated forward in the comp. He's massive and he just clunks the ball, moves well. He's going to be another player. We spoke about these 60 players that are going to be on coin next year. Watch his next contract go through the roof. Just the sense that you need to keep him now.
Mm. Oh, absolutely.
Our man, the fish, Brad, said that in the Instagram message box that the Swans just keep winning and Errol Goulden hasn't been firing yet, which is so scary because last year he was scary, scary good and slicing and dicing teams up and he hasn't really fired a shot this year. And now for the Suns, I'm not going to miss you here because the media will. This is their 14th year in the comp.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that we were past these 9-goal blowouts. Like given where your list is at, given all the high-profile picks that you had, given that they're now 5 years in their development, I thought that we were done with getting done by 9-10 goals. Clearly we're not done. The Suns have the biggest issue traveling outside the Gold Coast. They're allergic to airports. They hate an airport. They hate a flight. And they hate playing away from home. They've played 141 times away from home and they've won 25 times.
Wow.
Crazy.
Oh my God.
Cannot win outside of the Gold Coast. And they'll be a team this year that'll beat up on anyone below them in the ladder and then get pants by anyone up them.
Yeah.
And I've moved from, it's hard because they were good in the first half and then they just have these lapses for a quarter where they get smoked. And you're like, well, what was that? Like, why, how does that happen? I think last week I said I think they can make the eight, but from what I see when they don't play at home, I now go, I don't think you can win enough games to make the eight because you just cannot do anything outside of being out of the Gold Coast. And even now I've got my questions on Dimmer and he's still working out the team that he has. I think what he has is a group of very talented kids, but he's working out which 22 do I plug in each week to make this team really good.
And it's clear that next year's team will be more of a Dimmer team. Like
I think so. He'll work out the pieces that he needs out there.
Yeah.
It's like any good team that whether you've been in junior football or what Dimmer's going through right now, coaching a really talented team, sometimes you look at your best list and you go, I'm picking the best 22 players and I don't care about how it works on the field. Sure. So I think as to your point, he's going to look at this year and go, okay, I tried playing my best team and that didn't work. I need to go find my best structural, positional players, chemistry players in this 22 and work out who it is. So I don't think we're going to see that until next year. It doesn't help when Rao and Anderson were just way down on what they had been doing the weeks before, but For the first half there, you did see that the Suns had a blueprint on how to beat the Swans, and that was don't give them time and space, don't let them pick you off going inside forward 50 with some clean air and running into a paddock of field and having 3-4 seconds to hit a target. So they did some stuff right, but then did a whole lot of shit that was gross and then led to a 53-point loss. In our last game, the Battle of the Spoon. And we just had the graveyard usuals. We had your Kelly. We had your Jared Healy in there. Kelly did say that Larky got drafted in 2006. So that would have meant that it took him 18 years to get to 100 games, which is just a long effort, but credit to the determination. We spoke about the score reviews. There was 4 in the quarter from that one umpire. We needed to back himself in. And Hawks, they look like a team whose coach said during the week, put your mouth guards in. Let's fight.
Yeah.
Let's fight. They were very, very good. They were cleaner. They were harder at the footy. They just looked so much more better than the worst team in the comp, and which is a scary gap to be in with your North to be like, we are 10 goals worse than the second worst team.
Wow, yeah.
And I know it's highly illegal. I know this. And I know that they wouldn't have done this, but also there are ways that you could have lost that game last year against the Gold Coast, because that'll be the worst loss you've ever had in your club's history to butcher Harley Reid. It's illegal, I know, but you should have lost that game. You should have rested some players. There's some ways you can do that. Like, hey, guys, last game of the year. Oh, Larky, you're sore? Zerha, wouldn't believe it. You're sore. You know, LDU, can't believe you did your hammy. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Like, we're not going to go to win this game. Didn't help that Gold Coast was so bad.
Yeah,
in that game. But
can I confirm as well, when you say that there's a 10-goal difference between North and the second-worst team in the competition, that's confirming then that Hawthorn are the second-worst and then West Coast? Is that your order?
What's the bottom say?
Is that your bottom? Well, but that's – well, let's have a look. But
I think it would be. Hawthorn would be 17.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well – oh, my God, West Coast. Mm. So it's North, Hawthorn, Richmond, Adelaide, West Coast.
Adelaide as well now, yeah. 4-4. Wow. Yeah, North are a 10-goal worse team than the worst team above them.
Yep.
They're that bad. And, you know, another stat about losing here, they've won one of their last 27 games. It just happened to be the one game they won actually cost them Harley Reid, which is so much more salt in the wound. And I don't want to... Maybe I will say this. I'm not sure what Clarko's bringing to the table as a coach.
Okay.
Really. I don't know what he's doing to the group. I think we look at the Hawks and you see what they're doing. I can see that they're clearly looking to slice teams up by foot. Now, the skill execution isn't there yet, but I can see that they're looking for inside 45s, some overlap, and then getting the ball at the back. I can see that. I can see that where West Coast want to bash you up in the midfield and then spread off you from there and intercept down back, and then their midfielders spread so they can attack again. I can see that. I've got no idea what North are doing. No idea how they're playing. Their skills are so far below any other team. I just don't know what Clarko is doing about that. He's going out and blaming skill errors. That 10-goal loss, don't piss on the North fans' backs and tell them it's raining.
Mm.
Don't do that. I don't know what he's bringing. And normally I'd be like, oh, Clarko at Hawthorn, he would be into these players, tearing shreds off them, and you would never see a performance like that again out of a Hawthorn team, no matter how good they were going, no matter how bad they were going. Nothing is changing at North. It's the same shit every week, which is so disheartening as a North fan, because you go, well, what are we trying to do?
Yeah.
Are we throwing magnets around? Is Clarko coming out and telling us that we're trying these things and that's why it's so poor? You're just coming out and saying we're missing targets. That wasn't a game that got lost on missing targets.
No.
So also what you want is transparency. And that's what he said, you know, when coaches have their presser at the end of the game, they speak to the media. What they're really doing is they're speaking to the group, their playing group. So when Clarko says we missed some skills, he's saying to the playing group, okay, we need a bit better skills. No way, come out to the media and say that is not good enough and I won't stand for it here. I just don't know what he's doing. I know he's on $1 million a year. I think what the real problem is that he needs to come out and says, boys, where the boners at? Where are your boners at? You want to see what a real man looks like? And just unzips his pants and just gets it out and just stands there in front of the playing group just with some blood in it for 10 minutes and then says, boys, who's with me? And then the rest of the playing group get up and just they're just all shaking it.
Oh, captain, my captain.
Yeah. Where's the captain at? Show me what you got. And then he's there. And all, just for 40 minutes, the boys just getting boners.
Shake it off in the words of Taylor Swift.
I would. I want to see them. They need their bonus spirit back. Need their bonus spirit back. Thank God for Harry Sheasel. I mean, if you're Harry Sheasel, you look at this and go, I'm out. This is bad, bad, bad. I've got to get out of here. And they still refuse to play him in the middle, which is beyond me. Beyond me. I feel better for venting. Listen, that's our round review, everyone. Let's talk about the lose by, run by with Gatorade. So I, before the season started, said that for every point that Carlton would lose by, I'd run that in kilometres.
Mm-hmm.
We are coming to the end of our second month period where I'd normally do the run. We currently have to run 2Ks. So the Geelong game on Saturday is a big deciding factor for the total tally for this month. When they win that game, I'll run the 2Ks on the Sunday. If they lose that game, I then have to run the total tally, which could be, who knows, scary against
the
6-13.
Well, you do it in, let's say hypothetically, if Cats win by 30 points, so you've got 32 kilometres to run, will you do that in one hit, like a marathon style?
Yeah. You have to. Yeah. There'll be a scary time where they have 4 weeks in a row of 30-point losses.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's horrible. That's a big day of running. So it's just not great. It's a terrible time for this. It's the scariest time period to do this, given who we're playing. So I'm a bit nervous. I'm twitching a little bit. We will be back on Wednesday.
We're going to be Wednesday just before the Richmond game, Richmond-Melbourne.
So given the fixture this week, we are going to get an episode out to you Wednesday for your drive home for the rest of the round.
Perfect.
Okay. Thank you, guys. We love you so much. If you want a Legionnaire hat, just write in. Also, intern, we are doing an intern thing. So we had a lot of people on LinkedIn, hit me up, which is weird. I'm not really on there all that much, but thank you. We do want your interns, or want interns in here. We want people to sit in the set with us in the locker room. It is best for you guys to send us a video application.
Yeah.
So send your video application to Dan Does Footy Instagram. We will review them, and we'll hopefully have a few people in here soon.
Is there, can we just, like, I don't know, categorize a little bit what you're looking for? What sort of personality type? What skill set? Like, what's...
Look.
Just so we can sort of funnel the there is applicants.
You can be overqualified for this job.
Sure.
Ideally, what we want is someone to come in here who can just talk footy. You're passionate. You think you'll fit in with the flow of what we're doing here.
Yep.
You'll go get us lunch. You'll go do my laundry. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll drive me around. The simple things that an intern would do.
So they need a license?
A license would be great. I will be doing a working with children check because of you.
Yeah.
So that would be good. But no, someone
because they have to work with me. I'm the child. I'm the child. Yeah, sure.
Yep. Thank you. I'm glad you got that. So yeah, we want someone who, if you think you can talk the talk and you're passionate about your team, or maybe you're a crazy guy who just loves stats, and we love stats here. We love that. Maybe if you're a bit different and niche, maybe you're a weirdo, maybe you've got three arms. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. Something that we can bring to the show. That's who we're looking for.
Perfect.
So send them in.
We'll There's go someone through. Out there.
All right. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Imagine what you could be buying instead. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.